Blog Talk Radio.
Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up.
Good evening, everybody. A wonderful Wednesday to each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Network's segment brought to you live from the Show Me State of Missouri, the Dr. Ian Roberts Show, The Power of 7 Second Chances. It's our Wednesday, September 13th, 2017, and we are excited to be on with the radio with you live tonight. Of course, you know this already, but let me remind you. See, the goal of this weekly segment of the Dr. Ian Roberts Show, The Power of 7 Second Chances, is to enlighten, empower, educate, and of course, activate an empathetic leadership approach in each and every one of you. We are the only radio show in the land, in America, that brings you an informed and authentic, healthy balance of the practitioner and theoretician perspective of issues surrounding K-12 education. Our goal each week is to have an intellectually honest discussion of relevant educational issues. I encourage listeners, most of whom are educators or working in the field of education somehow, and those of you who are community activists, I continuously charge you to make sure that you are not allowing those individuals who are part of policy and politics to dictate what happens in this arena, but to make sure that you are continuously putting young people, our communities, student achievements, first and foremost at the top of your list. Ladies and gentlemen, I am your humble host, Ian Roberts, and as always, I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in as you wind down for the week. You are now on the hump day on Wednesday. See, I recognize and I don't take for granted that at this very moment, you could be anywhere else in the world, indulging in a multitude of activities, gratifying and some not so much. But you've chosen to spend 30 minutes of your precious time with us. And so now that you've got my preamble, let me jump right in with about 27 minutes or so that I have left. Tonight I want to talk to you about three different topics. But, of course, we always anchor and ground our show in a quote. And the quote tonight that we are going to utilize, ladies and gentlemen, comes from Alan Fine, notice and leadership coach, and he says that as a leader, your number one priority is to help others perform at their best and get them to believe in what is possible. And you will see and hear the connection to this quote to our work tonight, to our topic tonight. So the three things that I want to talk about, and so there are some essential questions that supports our show. And tonight, the couple of essential questions. The first question comes from someone whose hashtag is, whose user is Anonymous. And Anonymous, coming out of Chicago, Illinois, asked the question, and she says, I am a school leader in Chicago Public Schools. I was just given an assignment. I am a veteran principal, but currently this is my first year in this school, and my assignment is to turn around a low-performing school. The district's charge to me is that I need to focus on coaching and improving teachers' skill set. It sounds ridiculous. What do I do? Ms. Principal in Chicago, that's a long question statement built in, but I certainly empathize with you, and it resonates with me. So I'm going to try to address your question around coaching and why coaching is being prioritized. The second thing I want us to talk a little bit about tonight is an upcoming conference where, yes, yours truly is a returning presenter. I was there last year. It's the largest education conference in the state, the Lone Star State of Texas, the Advancing Improvement in Education. I was excited about the feedback that came out of the conference last year, but I'm even more excited this year because I'm not going to do this solo, but instead I have a co-presenter. She is dynamic. She is awesome. She is a successful Turnaround High School principal in the state of Missouri, and she currently serves as a central office, as a district office leader. And she will be there with me. You will hear her name. Remember this name. Her name is Dr. Crystal Gale. She is such a dynamic school leader and a district person who understands the intricacies of turnaround schools, or more importantly, really believes in the power behind empowering school leaders. And so the Advancing Improvement in Education Conference, ladies and gentlemen, I'll talk a little bit about it. And the third and final piece I want to talk about is the fact that not only we are in most instances, but particularly in the Midwest region, in the fifth week of the school year, what are we prioritizing? What are we focusing on? School leaders, education leaders, superintendents, principals, related service providers who are listening on tonight all over the world. Let's delve right in. Again, the quote for tonight's show is, as a leader, your number one priority is to help others perform at their best and get them to believe in what is possible. And if you are not doing that, utilizing your coaching lens as a leader, then we need to rethink whether or not this is the right place for you to be. So speaking of coaching, may I ask you this poignant question? And it simply is this. As you think about coaching, what is the sort of etymology of coaching, right? Etymology simply meaning that, for those of you who do not want me to go there vocabularily, what is the origin of the term coaching? And if you examine it, you will certainly see that coaching, the idea of the word coaching, see, the Europeans coined the term coach to simply mean that a coach was a vehicle that took people, and not just people, that took valued people from where they are or where they were to where they wanted to go. And so although that's the etymology of coaching, the origin of the term, it means that you need to think about how this applies to you and your role as a superintendent, as a principal, and as an academic instructional coach. What is the ultimate purpose? Is your purpose to just have conversations with those individuals who were under your tutelage, or is it to evaluate them? And the answer to both of those rhetorical questions is a simple no. You see, your role is to get those individuals, based on the etymology of coaching, from where they currently are to where they need to be, to where they need to go. Because just like the original terminology and how it was coined, they are valued. Your teachers are valued. If you are a principal, your leaders are valued. If you are a superintendent, and the value simply means that you will coach and coach and coach until you get them to where they want to be. There are a couple of questions that I want you to think about on tonight, and if you have a pen and paper, I'm hoping you jotted these questions down. In your own reflection for the rest of the week, I want you to think about your own experiences as someone who was coached, who was encouraged, who was support, who received guidance, in order for you to change, revolutionize, evolve, and improve your own practice. And it is because of someone who coached you, intentionally or not, that you are in the position you're in now, where you are now leading a cadre of people. And so here are a couple of questions, here are a few questions, if I may, that I want you to think about. Ask yourself, number one, what did my best coach help me to do? Number two, if I were to improve my coaching, what will I need to do? Number three, if I coach effectively, those who are under my tutelage would be able to do what? And number four, why is coaching critical to achieve our bottom line? And those of us who are in the position that serves education, your bottom line is student academic achievement. If you for one moment thought it was something different, then you are sadly mistaken. And so how do you, in your role as an executive, whether you are a superintendent, a principal, or someone in another position, how can you improve the capacity of the folks you're supporting by coaching them and coaching them effectively? Very, very critical. Very critical. And here's what I want you to really think about. Here's what I want you to think about. And there are a number of coaching philosophies. And so, for example, you've heard me say this. My coaching philosophy certainly is one that is anchored in empathetic and compassionate leadership. You see, my coaching philosophy is one that says that every single person, regardless of their deficits, should not be written off, should not be evaluated in the first conversation, but should be given multiple chances, multiple opportunities to get it right. And so what I have done, and tonight I'm hoping to sort of conflate, if you may, a couple of different coaching philosophies. And so mine, which is, and Nicole Price's, which is around empathetic and compassionate leadership, and that of Alan Fine, brother Alan Fine, who explored, has shared, and has gotten a lot of traction and success around inside-out coaching. When Alan Fine simply sort of juxtaposes this idea of inside-out coaching with that of outside-in coaching, and essentially when he unpacks it, what he says is this. You see, inside-out coaching, which is his philosophy, simply says that you are willing to see that on the inside of many individuals, they have a lot of talent and potential and the skills that they need to do well. And so as you're coaching them, you understand and you see what is in the inside of them. You know that built in, they have some skills. They have the potential to do well. And so inside-out coaching simply says that you're willing not just to give advice, because giving advice and increasing people's knowledge does not necessarily mean that they are going to improve. But it's getting them to understand that they have what it takes and you just need to remove their interferences is something you need to think about. And so if you get an opportunity, please, radio family, as you sit in the radio with us tonight, think about inside-out coaching as a philosophy, as a paradigm that you want to consider as you shift your own thinking around how to improve coaching, how to get better at what it is you do right now. And so what I'll share with you are a couple of resources. The one is not just about inside-out coaching, but I also want to ask you a couple of questions. You see, outside-in coaching, which is totally the antithesis of inside-out coaching, simply talks about the fact that it's a telling and didactic and instructional and directorial approach. People do not respond very well to being told always what to do. See, the outside-in coaching is an approach that simply says that people are lacking in some way and additional knowledge. You need to give them more knowledge. You need to encourage them to read books. You need to encourage them to get on the internet. And that's what will improve their practice. That is not very true. It's not true, and you should sort of refrain from that. Conversely, the inside-out coaching model, which is the Alan Fine model, and one that I certainly utilize, espouse, and share with my direct reports, is one that simply says that, look, we're going to focus on limiting the interferences that is getting in the way of experimenting with and using the knowledge that you as a person, you as a leader, you as a practitioner, you already have. We are simply working on eliminating whatever interference that you have. And interferences that we speak of falls into two categories, internal interferences and external interferences. But before we delve into that, please understand that the inside-out coaching approach is one that acts and remove biased individuals that gets them to learn faster. With the inside-out coaching mindset, there are so many parallels to Mr. Price and I, to our own philosophy around coaching, and that is we believe that every single person has the capacity to learn and perform at high levels. It's incredibly important for you to continue to focus on what's at hand. So your coaching philosophy, ladies and gentlemen, is something that can shift your practice. So, Ms. Chicago Principal, I'm hoping that you reach out to me offline via email or you inbox me and so that I can provide you with a plethora of resources that speaks to the fact that with effective coaching, you can not only change teacher practice, but you can improve student achievement in significant ways and essentially turn around low-performing schools. The next subject, ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you about Radio Family. I see you all in radio tonight. I see the lines are blowing up. And so I want to talk about an event that is coming up in a couple of weeks. You've probably seen my post and me advertising the fact that Dr. Crystal Gale and I have been selected to present at the Advancing Improvement in Education Conference in the great state, the Lone Star State of Texas. You see, the AIE 2017 conference has a theme, and the theme is simply this: Advancing Improvement in Education Through Maximizing Mindsets. The theme really echoes the fact that participants who come to this conference from all over the country and all over the world will be able to explore how personal and collective mindsets can contribute to their organization culture, to their district culture, their school culture. There are a number of keynote speakers, a number of high-performance presenters, and all of us will share how our personal and professional stories have led to positively impacting the culture of districts, of schools, charter, public, private, colloquial. And so we want to encourage you, if you have not done so, to register now. It's a really high-performing conference. Some of the names, clearly not necessarily in this order, but you have to come and see. I know last year was a session that I led, Radio Family, and last year's session was about utilizing the 7 key strategies to turn around low-performing schools. The session this year that Dr. Gale and I are going to present on is very similar, but we are pivoting towards empowering individuals to utilize empathetic and compassionate leadership to bring about a cultural responsiveness awareness, if you may, and those are some tongue twisters, but cultural responsiveness and awareness in leaders so that they, in turn, can turn around and improve low-performance urban schools. So our talk is very, very powerful. We are going to share with individuals our 7 key strategies. Hopefully by the time they leave the session, they will not only have those strategies, but we will make sure that they have a ton of resources to take with them. In addition to Dr. Gale and I, one of the keynote speakers for the opening plenary is Brother Ron Clark out of Atlanta. See, Ron Clark has pioneered innovative and nationally recognized projects from rural North Carolina to inner city New York. He's now in Atlanta. You have to come out and listen to Ron Clark as he shared with you. We also have Dr. Victor Rios. You may have heard of him out of California. He's a West Coaster. He is a professor in the Department of Sociology at the University of California, Santa Barbara. And what I know about Dr. Victor Rios is that he's worked with a number of local school districts to develop programs and curricula that are aimed at improving the quality of interactions between authority figures and youth. Because oftentimes in the work that we do, we have the big desk, we have the big chair, we have the bunch of keys. We do not allow youth to be empowered. And so we tend to lose them along the way and wonder why the dropout rate is so astronomical. Victor Rios really engages with his audience, and he really talks a lot about the work that he has done with programs that he's implemented in Los Angeles, California, in Watts, the Watts Project, for example, in juvenile detention facilities and in alternative high schools. Victor Rios has been featured in a number of editorials, including the Chronicle of Higher Education. He has a couple of solid TED Talks. He was in the Oprah Winfrey Network, National Public Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not advertising AIE or any of these speakers. What I'm simply saying to you is this: as you think about your own trajectory for growth, as a school leader, as a teacher, as a district leader, the AIE is a conference that you should consider attending. Because if you do not attend for any other reason other than to listen to and engage with those individuals I mentioned, you will be incredibly impressed, and it will behoove you to attend the session being led by Dr. Crystal Gale and I. And the session is simply this: embracing empathetic and compassionate leadership, providing you with 7 key strategies to amplify culturally responsive leadership and culturally responsive pedagogy. Sean Smith is another presenter. Brother Sean Smith will be there Now, you know, Sean Smith has done a lot of great work across around the country with urban schools as well as with rural schools. So those are the individuals who will be there. If you're wondering, so Dr. Roberts, what are you and Dr. Crystal Gayle, what will you all talk about? What is so revolutionary? What is revolutionary? And I cannot give it all to you tonight, but I'll give you a synopsis. I'll give you a snippet. But I want to make sure that you are there at the Advancing Inclusion in Education Conference to see and interact with and engage with Dr. Gayle and that. See, we believe that in order for school districts and schools and other organizations, whether you are in a K-12 education or you are a part of a Fortune 500 company, in order for you to scale high-impact, high-performing employees, in order for you to increase your retention rates amongst your employees so you do not have a high turnover, in order for you to have a strategic and robust recruitment strategy, you have to stop looking at people as individuals who are just supposed to support productivity and see them as individuals who can build capacity in others within your building. You see, one of the individuals that we are going to talk about and make connections to, and you all may know his name or heard of him very well, he was the former GE CEO. And he believed in this idea that you should just hire the top 10% and retain the top 10%. Of your employees. And those who do not fit that bill, then you let them go. You ought to let them go. You see, yes, GE stock went up by 4,000% in the 80s and 90s under Jack Welch's leadership. Yeah, Jack Welch is the person that I'm referencing. But even today, when you speak to Jack Welch, and he came out sometime later on and talked about the fact that his approach towards recruitment and development of leaders was one that was wrong, was not successful. Because you cannot continue to fire the bottom 10% of your employees, because each and every single year, some group of employees will end up in that bottom 10%. And so Dr. Gayle and I will talk about how can you utilize a healthy balance between empathetic leadership and holding people accountable. We call it the 10% rule. Those of you who are going to attend the session will also hear us and see us making connections to Margaret Hefferman's world-acclaimed TED Talks titled The Super Chicken, where she talked about the pecking order. You see, we often go after those individuals who sit in meetings and they can demonstrate to you that they've read every single leadership book, every single educational book, every book about the topic of the day, and they can espouse and articulate from a theoretically strong point everything that they've read. And so you get the impression that they're bright, they're brilliant, and they will contribute to the work you're doing. You see, we are pushing you to think about the fact that this is not accurate. An empathetic leadership and cultural responsiveness is the antithesis of the super chicken environment. In Margaret Hefferman's work, she talked about the fact that the super chicken mentality is one that causes a number of organizations to lose good people and have high turnover rates. Additionally, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to share with and talk to you a little bit about the Price-Roberts model. The model that talks about the fact that your initial instinct, your very first few conversations, your strategic approach should not be anchored in an evaluative mentality. We want you to look at the Price-Roberts model, which is in the book, The Power of 7-Second Chances, and the number of individuals I've utilized. And it simply talks about the fact that you want to start with awareness, then pivot towards reflection, look at decision-making, come up with the right strategic and robust actions, then you check to see where your employees are. Yes, it sounds like high-level, surface-level, theoretical espousing, but I want you to know that I'm giving this to you tonight because we only have 30 minutes to share all of this powerful information with you. But those of you who show up to the AIE conference in San Antonio, Texas, on September 25th through the 27th, you're in for a treat. You're going to leave with a number of resources. You're going to leave with the latest book, and you're also going to leave with a lot of freebies in the form of some of our workbooks. One question that we are hoping to ask, and we certainly will ask Dr. Gayle and I, is does leading empathetically and compassionately, does this mean that you're leading from the heart? Powerful question, poignant question, and we want to make sure that you're thinking about it. We also want to ask you this. When you hear the word sympathy, empathy, as it relates to leadership paradigm, what comes to mind for you? And then, of course, we are going to share with you and make connections to the seven key strategies that will amplify culturally responsive leadership. And you know, you've heard before, those seven strategies are engagement of the community, daily operational plan of excellence, where you're focusing on what is happening in every single building, every classroom, mission, vision, and key strategies. The fourth is looking at the power of seven second chance leadership and how it can change your organization and environment. Number five is creating a culture celebration where you consistently, persistently, and always celebrating the goodness of people and the great things that they're doing. Six, you must have a given set of non-negotiables. You have to identify those, share them with your constituents, and you're holding yourself and everyone accountable to them. And finally, coaching. Earlier, I shared with you in the program, the etymology of coaching simply says that coaching comes out of the European term that was coined because coach was a horse-drawn carriage and it was designed to take important people from where they were to where they needed to be. And so with you, if you are in a position of leadership, a position where you're coaching someone, a position where you have people on your tutelage, you should be committed to and have some intentionality to take people from where they are to where they need to be. And so those are the seven key strategies, and we are going to build on those and add some powerful stories and anecdotes so you get them. And you will also hear us talk a little bit about the trickle-down effect and how it impacts empathetic and compassionate leadership. To recapitulate very briefly, I talked to you a little bit about the fact that the AIE conference is something that is powerful, something that you need to know, something that you need to hear about, something that you need to be present at. Dr. Gale and I will certainly be there to be your facilitators. Come out and see us, San Antonio, Texas, September 25th through the 27th. And finally, we also talked about the fact on tonight's radio show that coaching in response to the Chicago Principles question of why am I being encouraged and enticed to make sure that I'm coaching. Coaching is the way for you to improve teacher practice, the way for you to improve leader practice, which will ultimately have a trickle-down effect to get students to achieve at unprecedented levels. A coach is someone who believes in and